latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubled man, changed by the things I do.
We're back at the races. Jungle with Happy Man. I love that. And we love talking to Seth Marrow, too. Capital OTB, Equidaily.com. And our second visitor today that was up at Woodbine. Seth has become, he's synonymous with Woodbine. He's Mr. T.O. Good morning.
I'm really cosmopolitan now.
Let's not get carried away. Now you're running off. I mean, this is that's you.
And then it's tough for me to get dressed in the morning because I leave my car here. I go up in the company car, so I'm all confused where to find my tie.
Well, you know, I didn't get a chance yesterday. Yesterday, I had a good line. I thought I had a good line that I could have pulled out with Dick Powell regarding Hugh Robertson, who's now won 2 years in a row. He's won the Masters up at Presque Isle, and you know, not only do you get a trophy, but the trainer gets a sport coat. And I suppose that I guess they haven't thought through that if a woman wins, you got to have something for them. I mean, they can get a jacket as well, of course. But Hugh Robertson doesn't have to shop, because all he has to do is go up to Presque Isle and win the Masters and get a jacket every year.
Oh, got two I'm just of putting them. It together. A jacket for the Masters.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
It was cute. It was I don't know if they did that right from the start, or if that came, you know, if somebody thought of that along the way. But there should be something for they got to figure out a way for you to add that some sort of handicapping contest, maybe.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Well, no, it just would be, it would augment the.
Well, it definitely would augment. Yeah, you're not cannot deny that it would augment the by about 1/6, as I would say.
Exactly, because you got, you know, most of your sport coats, they're kind of like meatloaf. They've got that sort of undefinable color.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. They're a good looking.
That was a good line, though.
I did have a chance, though, to pull out the seersucker again this week in the last shot, but I wore it up at Woodbine.
Whoa. All right, stop. You can't be wearing the seersucker.
You're not stuck in September. Labor Day thing.
Labor Day or no Labor Day, that is a summer, and I suppose technically the summer's not over.
Technically.
I wouldn't. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't be caught dead. No, exactly. I mean, that is so wrong. on so many, but on you, it looks good. you wear that jacket, you get a free bowl of soup. Jesus, holy.
I do not have any, unlike you, I do not have any shoes that go off the radar. So I didn't have to worry about that in Labor Day. I do not own a pair of white bucks. Or, I must admit, your blue suede shoes are quite, I'm kind of envious of that. But I do not, I don't go off the radar with the shoes. So I wasn't worried there.
I know, I try so hard. It years and years of trying to cultivate you, and I don't know. I'm going to have to redouble my efforts, and you know, I think I've drafted Andy Serling too on this project. Andy's going to chip in as
great.
Well.
Oh, that's just fabulous. Then, yeah, no, next summer, we, yeah.
Although
we're headed down to the Jockey Club, so I'll probably hear it there.
Oh, look at you. I was going to ask if you were coming to Philly.
No, we're not going to make it down there. I mean, we just got back, and then Jockey Club, and they'll pop down, actually, the Yonkers, I think, in maybe a month or so. So we have some trips planned. But,
exciting.
We're thinking about parks, but that's not on the agenda.
All right. Well, tell us about this version of Woodbine Mile Day. How was the trip? What did you come away with?
I always tell people, and I say when I'm on the air up there, in our area, for folks who are listening from our Albany, Saratoga area, or really anywhere up in this section of the country, nice drive. I mean, from here, you hop on the thruway and take a right to Buffalo, and you're another 45 minutes or an hour. And if you've never been, Woodbine, a great track, and now the two turf courses, plenty of turf racing. So it's a fun weekend. We got up Thursday and bounced around the backstretch on Friday morning and grabbed some interviews, and then Saturday, Sunday, we were on the air, and for folks who were watching, obviously there was the upset in the Woodbine Mile. Got Stormy. She gave it everything, and then with the fractions, you know, 22 and change, 44 and change, 108, 120 and change, 132 and 3, winds up a close-up second to the long shot El Tormenta, who was ridden by Eurico Rosa da Silva, who I had talked to on Friday afternoon. We caught him outside the jockey's room. I've talked to him in previous years. Boy, I'll say he's a guy who, to those of us down here on the other side of the border, I think he gets a little bit overlooked on the jockey side of things. But doing some research, I think the number was 6 sovereign awards. Last year he was the the leading rider at Woodbine with a record number of wins. He's either in the lead or a close tie with Hernandez again this year. I didn't check after the weekend, but I'm assuming he's in the lead now at Woodbine. But I wanted to talk to him, obviously, this time, talk a little El Tormenta, who he said, it's a long shot, but I think we have a good chance. And then after the race up in the press box, the post-race interviews, he said his jockey or his agent had called him and said, you know, we got approached about this horse, El Tormenta, is going to be a long shot. And Eureka, who had worked them, said, I like this horse. So take the call, and we will jump on board. So he had some confidence in the horse, despite the betting public letting it get away a little bit. But again, I wanted to talk to him, particularly because he announced a while ago that he's going to retire at the end of the season. And it's a guy who is clearly retiring at the top of his game. And it was fun to talk to him. As I say, I've talked to him before. Really nice guy. And as I say, gets maybe a little overlooked down here. But a nice guy, always accommodates us. And he talked a little bit about wants to be a father to his kids. He has three kids under 7 years old and wants to spend more time with the family. And he's going to move on now and become a life coach. And it was kind of interesting. And after the race, again, up in the press box, he talked a little bit about visualization and how that worked for him on the day. And it's just fun to talk to him. And as I say, it was nice to see him get the win in that he had put virtually all the Woodbine Stakes races on his resume over his career, except for the Woodbine Mile. And so with his last shot, he got it done with El Tormenta, who I will say 44 to one, not that the horse shouldn't have been a price, but boy, the right. 44 to one was really escaped a little bit. It was just four races ago. He won the Connaught Cup up there. And you look down, last time was 9-5. Before that, the even money favorite, 8-1, 7-1 in the Connaught Cup. So the 44 to one was kind of generous for folks who jumped on that, but came up the rail. And as I say, got the win by half a length over Got Stormy. So the Woodbine Mile, as I say, it was an upset, but it was kind of a fun story. As we went back, I wound up on the bottom floor waiting for the elevator with Eureka Da Silva. So he gave me a high five and he said, hey, interview was lucky. And as I say, we've talked to him some years before and he's wound up winning some stakes races. So it was kind of fun. And he was just overjoyed to have put this one on the resume. So a fun story coming out of the Woodbine Mile.
Well, I said that yesterday to Gail Cox, and of course her first grade won. And you know the whole element of Rico having won everything at Woodbine, and so here's technically his last shot, at least for now, to win the mile, and he does. And Gail told all the backstories. I actually because I'd had an old phone number for Gail Cox, and so I needed to figure out what the number, the right number was for her. And so I reached out to Tom Patton, who's been the longtime agent for Da Silva. And after, he got me the number to get a hold of Gail, I said to him, I said, is he still determined to retire? And he said, yeah. He said he absolutely is. And Gail sort of kind of hinted that she thinks maybe at some point he'll come back, but as opposed to about the same age when Ramon Dominguez had the choice made for him, it is unusual for a guy to be, right mid-career and do this. That's what is so stunning about Da Silva walking away.
Yeah, and at the top of his career, again, obviously with the Sovereign Awards and still at the top of the leaderboard and the record number of wins last year, but somebody did ask him up in the press box after the Woodbine Mile, does this, make you want to rethink things at all? And he was, no, not at all. I want to be a good husband and a good father. That's what I'm on to do next. And so it seems like he's determined. End of the season, he'll step away.
Now, he explained during the summer when this was becoming, more or less confirmed that it was happening, and he explained it. He did not want to be absentee, and that his own, his own childhood weighed on this. And it's notable and certainly in a lot of ways really enviable. Going into this week, he's won 2,200 races. and you know, the recorded, basically it's a 15-year career, and you know, he's tracking probably toward, I don't know, call it you know, 6 million in earnings probably this year, give or take. So, you know, he's had earnings as high as 9 million in a year. That was in 2010. And you know, one of the other things about this horse, with this El Tormenta, he puts himself in position, you know, for a Breeders' Cup opportunity. Yeah. His best finish came with Fatal Bullet. I brought that up to Gail Cox yesterday for Reed Baker, going back 10 years at least, in the sprint.
Yeah, and certainly it was a nice win with a nice time, and so you'd think that'll be the game plan. You know, they asked up in the press box, and obviously there was the standard. I don't know what Gail said to you yesterday. They had time to think about it then, but right after the race, it was, let's get back to the barn, see how the horse is, and then we'll kind of think about it. But, boy, you would think that would certainly be the game plan. And yeah, for folks who are familiar with Woodbine also, the main track, so to speak, the track right next to the grandstand is the turf course. And so the horse came back on the turf course and was right in front of the grandstand. And Eureka Da Silva clearly overjoyed. He's pointing at the crowd, yelling, Canada, Canada, Canada. And the crowd clearly responded to that. And so it was a fun kind of return to the winner's circle area, which up there is on the infield, but the horse did walk in front of the grandstand area before heading out there. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, and I guess it was on the broadcast team, and they were championing what a great sports year it's been for Canada. In you know, you had the girl that oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget her name. What the hell's wrong with me? From the girl that just beat Serena.
Oh, over at Wimbledon? She was from Canada? I didn't know that.
No, not at Wimbledon. In the U.S. Open. They won the U.S. Open 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the young girl over at Wimbledon. Oh.
No, that's an American. I'm talking of the Canadian.
Andrescu.
Bianca Andreescu. Thank you, Deja. Deja came through.
Yeah, I had to defer. My tennis watching is very limited.
Well, like your wardrobe.
I should have seen that coming.
Deja plays tennis. That's how. Thank you, Deja. Deja gave us. But no, they were championing. You know what a notable. You know, a bunch of. They quickly equated the win in the mile with some a handful of recent successes on the international sports scene for Canada, for O Canada. So it was great.
I will toss in the weekend also look good for Saratoga. Talked to Kevin Attard out by the training track on Friday, and he liked the Starship Jubilee in the Canadian. That one got it done on the front end. So that was a nice win, but was coming out of a third in the Ballston Spa down in Canada.
Yeah.
And then the 2 2-year-old winners on Sunday both were coming out of races down at Saratoga. West Point and Decorated Invader, they were high on that one. And then Abscond also coming out of a 2-year-old race at Saratoga.
Well, and the both of those stakes, as it happens, the Summer and the Natalma, was hoping to get Eddie Keneally. Everybody's kind of tied up at the sale. I've actually been lucky already this week. Virtually everybody we talked to on the trainer side have been tromping up and down the hill for looking for horses.
We talked to Roger Atfield on Friday, and he had just gotten back in town. Got back in town from Keeneland on Thursday night.
Well, Dale Romans we had the other day, and Doug O'Neill there, and Gail Cox yesterday. She zipped right down after the win on Saturday. She wanted to be on hand for book three, and so I know she said she bought one. We looked up the hip with her on the air. So, yeah, it's
It's getting to be that time. And speaking of which, that time, let's also take a look at today's action. Did you do some Belmont?
I looked at the late pick five.
Look at you. I think I've got the late pick four here. So go ahead. Start it off, and I'll jump in after race five.
In race four, which kicks off that pick five today, I had it in it. Let me just go because I did pull up scratches before, so let me see if I can get that up again. And I had them here a moment ago. What did I do with them? Well, okay, I'll go, and maybe you can pull up scratches
sure.
while we're talking because I know I've lost them. I had them a moment ago. I have an 8, 1, 10, and 9. Oh, here we go. I do have it. So the 2 and the 6 are out of this fourth race. But I have an 8, 1, 10, and 9. Put number 8, Golconda, on top. You know, the morning line favorite. But this is one of those, Jason Service, Michael Dubb and company. And it's one of those that you just run into every once in a while. It just has a buyer's edge that's pretty clear on the rest of this field. Now, Dancing with Daffodils is in the same ballpark. And I think in the pick five, I'd probably use both of those. If I was going to fool around a little bit, the Brad Cox Moyne Spun, who we talked about last week, didn't we? Yeah, it was just 1 week ago. Got it done there. In, you know, a fairly similar race, an N2L as compared to this N3L. But coming off of that one, as I say, if I was going to play around a little bit, maybe those. But it probably goes between the 8 and the 1. So in the fourth, I have an 8, 1, 10, and 9. Fifth race, no scratches so far. Fifth race, I have a 2, 5, 1, and 4. Wayne's Footsteps. Again, Brad Cox coming off a near miss last time. Since moving into the Cox Barn, has run pretty well. Seems to be maybe improving, and off that last near miss, looks logical. Click Attack was one that I looked at and thought, you know, I might be tempted to put this one on top, given the race two back. And the workout, the most recent workout, was pretty good. Beaten favorite last time. I could make an argument there, and if the odds hold up, Click Attack certainly becomes very attractive. You're looking at 2-1 on Wayne's Footsteps and 7-2 on Click Attack. But I won't be surprised if they get closer as post time comes up. Jimmy Jazz in the third spot. Another one that maybe you can make an argument for. This one, 3-1, second choice on the morning line. So be interesting to see how these do separate out as we get closer to post time. But I think Click Attack, I'm guessing, comes down a little bit off of that race two back in the workout. We'll see. Could have a little bit of value there on that one. But I have a 2-5, 1-4 in the fifth.
Yeah. These are so quirky because your inclination is to reach for somebody fresh. You know, it's a mile on the grass. You know, state breds and you got horses that are making their ninth, their seventh, their ninth, their seventh, their fifth, their sixth, and their sixth starts. And then there's Moonlight Now for Al Freed, you know, out of his very nice mare, Moonlight and a Beauty. And Charlie Baker, here's a horse that's, you know, trying grass for the first time, has been, you know, just pretty involved in his two attempts so far, which were both at 7 furlongs on the main track. And, you know, Manny Franco jumps to Clement's horse, Quiet Out East, 4-1. And you know, go back to that turf race. It was pretty good back in June. That was okay. And then through the summer, Clement had this Broken Vow gelding on the main track. I don't know. I hate these kinds of races that you've had horses that have had, you know, mostly their chance, you know, most all the chances you'd want them to have, and they just haven't succeeded. So I don't know. Quiet Out East intrigues me, and out of respect for Charlie Baker and knowing what a nice family Moonlight Now comes from, I'm sort of intrigued by those two.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with Quiet Out East. Moonlight Now, as you say, fresh face kind of a thing. You can make an argument there. Probably has to step it up a little bit, though, which, given being lightly raced, that's possible. Between those two, Quiet Out East is the one that's more intriguing. Sixth race, state bred, non-winners of one. The 3, Remsen, is out here. I have it 4, 5, 8, and 7. Crack shot, kind of obvious here, but Jeremiah off a win up at Saratoga to break the maiden. But two of the last three numbers are good enough to get it done in here if we get to those numbers. But there are horses that are pretty close. Joe's Bold Cat puts in numbers that are right up there as well. But this is a horse that a little shy of the winner circle camera in 29 career starts, only a couple of wins, but certainly belongs with this field. Bourbon Mission is maybe interesting, being a little more lightly raced, certainly than Joe's Bold Cat. And the last couple on the turf up at Saratoga were pretty good and probably fit with this group. Might have to step it up just a touch, but I have it 4, 5, 8, 7 in the sixth.
4, 5, 8, and 7. Yeah. All right. I've got nothing clever.
All right.
Let me just look back at one thing that one note that I'm curious about here. This horse of Contessa's at Remsden.
Remsden out.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So that makes it easy.
And then we're going to play around. The Dave Donk horse is interesting. First time gelding off a little bit of a summertime layup.
Right.
Ricken, I didn't use that one, but if I was going to play around, that would be the one that I think I'd fool with. Because I think you will get a price, certainly off the last race, but with the ultimate equipment change, as they say, who knows how the horse will come back. Seventh race is the sixth race today. For state bred 2-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs. I have 4, 6, 2, and 3. No scratches in here. Irish Dancing. I just like the debut up at Saratoga. It was very good. The favorite's going to be Fierce Lady, already with stakes winning experience. But I thought the debut for the 4-horse was very impressive. Time limit in the third spot, up a close second last time in a stake to Fierce Lady. Those two are right underneath. And Thea's Theme, definitely is going to have to jump up. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, though, in the second career start off a nice maiden breaker up at Saratoga in the debut for Jeremiah. So Thea's Theme, you know, again, one of those situations if I was going to play around and look for a price in some of the horizontals, maybe toss that one into the mix as well. But I have it 4, 6, 2, and 3.
Yeah, the favorites, the favorites are the right ones here. Irish Dancing and Fierce Lady.
And my price play of the day, if 8-1 is that type of a horse, and I'm assuming there's the R here, but the PPs do not show. I'm assuming this is one of those auction races, the eighth race. Maiden specials, and again, with a restricted symbol there, mile on the turf.
The 45,000 and less. That's one of those sale price.
My PPs don't say that, but I was
assuming it
certainly.
Yeah, it's in the condition book.
Okay, I have it 7, 2, and 4. I had the one at the Italian-American in the mix, but the 1 and 3 have scratched. So 7, 2, 4 now. Danzig Dunhill on top. I really like Twirling Candy. Now, they only paid $42,000 for this horse. And from what I saw, the dam's first one to go to the races. But I thought a couple workouts were okay. George Weber can have them ready. Twirling Candy. So the old nature and nurture, I thought, potentially at work here.
Hey, now!
A little shot with Danzig Dunhill, the 7. 7, 2, and 4 for me in the 8.
If you had nature nurture on your bingo card for Seth today, congratulations! You're a winner. You're a winner.
The old you bet your Groucho.
There it is.
The bird. Yeah.
The horse that's tough to swallow here is the 2 at 8-5. Edmund Davis has really obviously he's got some talent, but just. Completely puts himself at a disadvantage off the brakes, but comes out of the race with Decorated Invader.
Yeah, and that's going to attract attention clearly.
However, this is not a horse that you're going to. This is not a horse you're going to single. I'll tell you that. Based on those bad starts, and you know, Tommy Bush, 6-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get Stormy. What a great story. Get Stormy is quickly becoming. This is Get Smokin' and stretching out off of a pretty good debut at Saratoga. So
I like the name too. Get Stormy out of Hookah Lady. Get Smokin'. Gotta like that.
Very.
Gotta like that.
I love it. You know, that horse of Rudy Rodriguez looks like he should be at least glanced at. And that's one of those horses in a spot like this. People are going to see, 47 Buyer and beaten 11 lengths. The race was off the turf.
Yeah.
So, and it was 7 furlongs. So as a 2-year-old, this was a horse that Rudy had entered in a route race. For his debut, and he actually did not run badly, but he was obviously meant for the grass. So at 12-1, you also get value because Louis Reyes is riding, and Louis, will scare people off, but on a horse that has talent, he can get you around. I don't know, 12-1. I'm using the 4 and the 5 in here in some combination.
Yeah, the 4 I had in my mix. The 5 I didn't, but I used the 1 and that one scratched, so I probably pulled the 5 in. I agree. The whole scenario there means that you got to take an extra look at that one.
Seth, Bill Gallo is going to join us to talk about today's Entenmann and tomorrow's Lonesome Glory. What's your favorite Entenmann baked good?
These days, of course, it's the stuff that came over from the Fryhofer, the old Fryhofer chocolate chip cookies, although they're still under the Fryhofer name, but they have a little six pack of kind of cinnamon Danish that are very good. They're sold under the Entenmann product name.
All right. So we'll put you down for Danish.
Occasionally, the shop right next to our studio down in Albany has buy one, get one free. And I'm all in.
Ooh. The chocolate, those chocolate glazed donuts, too, are of Entenmann. Very strong. Very strong. And I'm not a big donut guy. But the chocolate glazed
donuts. I'll give those a shot. Although this time of year, I'm sure searching around for the apple cider donuts.
Oh, yeah. We had cider donuts the other day. Yeah, where were Tina and I? Oh, we stopped. We went as we were coming back from Thousand Islands. We brunched at the Brewster Inn in Cazenovia, but then we went and hiked Chittenango Falls. We went down to the base of the falls, and then afterward, taking Route 5 home, which includes the Yellow Brick Road in Chittenango, through Canastota and into Oneida, where I worked for the dispatch, and then we stopped in Westmoreland at like this sprawling orchard, and we got cider slushies. And we got cider donuts. We got, I got a cabbage. I'll put up a picture. I swear to God, I got a cabbage the size of a medicine ball.
I didn't even know cider slushy was a thing.
Oh, you see, you're like a hothouse flower. We got to get you out more. You bet. Cider slushy, out of this world.
It sounds good.
Yeah, big time. All right. Well, we'll teach you. Seth Merrow, everybody, the face of GoTV, the one and only. Thanks, Seth.
I'm going to be listening to what Bill has to say because my man Shepard with Winston C. I'm looking for that one tomorrow in the Lonesome Glory to keep the win streak going.
All right, Leslie Knopf, who is an authority on everything shopping because she is literally responsible herself for the. That Shop New York, what do they call it? The New York, the New York advertising. She pioneered that. She says Focassle Farm on Blue Barnes Road in Burn Hills.
Oh yeah,
has
the cider
donuts that you are craving, and if you come out Washington County too, we've got it at Borden. They've got terrific cider donuts.
All right, I'm heading down to Focassle. Maybe it's this afternoon.
Look at that.
All right. You're done. Move along.
All right. Take it easy.
Nothing to see here. Back after this, we'll close it out with Bill Gallo getting ready for the jump races today and tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine to put their son. Something different, all the girls are seeing to like you. Cause you're handsome, like a dog and a whole lot of fun. But now your girl is gone and missing and your house has got an empty bed. The folks are wondering about the wedding, they won't listen to a word you said.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes to noon on this Wednesday, and that means we're about an hour and 5 minutes away. Actually, I take that back because I keep forgetting that the cards are during the weekdays are starting at 3 o'clock. So you've got all plenty of time. You got 3 hours. In fact, I could even drive down and be there in time maybe for the Entenmann today and for the Lonesome Glory tomorrow. Bill Gallo joins us from the National Steeplechase Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I'm on the Belt Parkway. Bear with me.
Oh, boy. Well, you maybe you might not even be there for 3 o'clock.
I'm with you. You got two for the price of one. I'm with Joe Clancy.
Hey, I love it.
We'll be there shortly.
Well, and so we can get opinions from both of you as to today and tomorrow. Today, you got the William Entenmann, the $75,000
hurdle, and then tomorrow, the Lonesome Glory, the Grade One. And everybody was excited about the potential of the matchup that was shaping up today, but unfortunately, Teodoro cannot participate. So, scratch Teodoro. Is he just nicked up? Is he okay or what?
He's a little nicked up. He's going to miss the rest of the year, though. He'll be back next spring. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, well, because you had a unique situation where snap decision and Teodoro were going to hook up, and between the two of them, they had won by, I don't know, 60 lengths combined in their last starts and made for a unique matchup. Well, instead, I suppose snap decision is going to be a prohibitive favorite.
He certainly should be, for sure. Joe and I were talking about it coming up, and it does change the nature of the race. Teodoro would open up many lengths, and the rest of the field would chase him, try and chase him down. So this would be a much more subtle race, I would say, and maybe get a truer result. So unfortunately, he can't run, but snap decision is going to be, as you said, a prohibitive favorite.
What do we do? Do we look to Arch My Boy maybe coming out of a good effort in the Kaiser?
He ran well. You know, he's a very good second. Got these three quarters. There's another horse in the race called Chief Justice. He's a four-year-old that ran a terrific race. I don't know if you trip handicappers have seen the replays, but we were talking about that earlier, too. He got beat a length and a quarter at Percy Warner in that novice stakes race. City Dreamer was the winner. He closed on the outside, came very late, and just got up. Winston C. was the horse right in front of Chief Justice. We all know who Winston C. is. We'll see him again tomorrow. So that was a huge effort by Chief Justice, and I wouldn't discount him.
Interesting. I want to ask about a couple of horses, and we'll get some Clancy input in a second when we talk about City Dreamer. But Jack Fisher sends out Cracker Factory, first time North America, gets Michael Mitchell and gets Lasix. And this is, a horse just by virtue of connections alone of Fisher and first time North America hasn't competed since Cheltenham. What do we know about Cracker Factory?
He's been with Fisher since the spring. Obviously, Fisher likes him. His record speaks for itself. He's 4-for-8 over jumps with 2 seconds. He won 4 races as a 3-year-old. That's unusual. That's a lot of wins for a 3-year-old, no matter what country you're in. Clearly, he's got some ability and some class. And coming out of the Fisher barn, these horses were specifically pointed for the fall campaign. So, he's going to be tough. Mitchell's a good combination. He's one of our top riders, and he's excellent in the stretch. He's a good finish rider, one of our better finish riders. And as you know, they run 5/8 of a mile from that last fence down the backside. They don't jump those final two fences here at Belmont. So it's not necessarily a sprint, but it is clearly a flat race for 5/8 of a mile.
Well, and with that in mind, I'm going to ask you about the big price on Veneer of Charm for Richard Hendricks. And after three sort of difficult starts jumping, and that goes back to the Foxbrook at Fair Hill, we've got one start this year as well, and then two races on the flat where you get the sense that Hendricks was trying to put some speed into Veneer of Charm. This horse got a kind of an interesting look about him.
Yeah, I see your angle for sure. The flat races are going to sharpen him up. There's no question about that. His jumping, not so good. Not necessarily the jumping part, but, you know, what he's done in America over fences since he got here last fall wasn't too impressive. So he's going to have to combine those two skills for sure. He had an 80 buyer figure in his last at Delaware.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. And he won the race before that. So, yeah, at a price, certainly. He gets Jack Doyle, you know, once again. Jack Doyle's red hot right now. He won some races at Colonial over the summer. So maybe the combination of Doyle and the flat race, you might be onto something. At a price, the horse will be 15-1.
he won. Joe, pitch in here. This horse won a juvenile hurdle at Cheltenham. There's got to be some quality to this horse, and I suppose mechanic wise, over the jumps. Anyway, I got a little glance there. And Joe, can we get an unbiased Clancy view of River D's City Dreamer?
You might have to call mom for that, right? I'm with you. Veneer of Charm, to me, he's interesting at a price. I don't know if he's good enough to win this race, but I think the two flat races sharpen him up. Teodoro coming out kind of makes the race. Well, there's not much pace, really. Snap Decision might be in front, or to me, Veneer of Charm might be in front off the two flat races. City Dreamer, to me, he got a great trip at Nashville. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to get that same trip here. I know the race at Far Hills would be more the target, you know, to get him primed for that. He ran well enough in his first start here last year in this same race. I picked him there, and he was fourth. Kind of just didn't close. I think, you know, if he can run into it the way he did at Nashville, he's got a chance. I just think there's a little bit, you know, I don't like chasing favorites, but I ended up with Snap Decision just because I think it sets up for him. He's got the most recent good platform. You know, he's going to be tough to catch in the stretch for sure.
Are you on today with Andy?
Yeah, I was supposed to be. The original Talking Horses show is like now, and obviously I wasn't making that. So I think I'm going to try to go on pre-race, but it gets a little confusing with their live show and some of the other stuff going on. I'm definitely on tomorrow. Trying to get here in time to do an 11:40 show. New York traffic was not smart.
Now, I hear you. I've even coming down from upstate, I've missed some races that we were participating in. Let's talk about tomorrow, the Lonesome Glory. And this is our last grade one until we get to Far Hills in October. And we're looking forward to it. But Winston C., all eyes here, Jonathan Shepherd, sweeping the Smithwick and the Turf Riders. Can he be beaten?
Who are you asking, me or Joe?
I'll start with you, and then Joe can chime in.
Of course he can be beaten. You know, I think several horses actually have a very good chance of being, certainly Scorpionza. I mean, I'm a little biased, and I put the weights on. So, I mean, the weights are indicative of my opinion, certainly. But Winston, he's the now horse. He's the horse to beat. Can Scorpionza beat him? Absolutely. He's won this race. He won at Iroquois coming back this year. His entry mate, Moscato, he certainly can beat him. No question about that. Moscato was at level weights, was third to Scorpionza at Iroquois. Surprising Soul, similarly, at level weights. He got beat a length. Now Surprising Soul is in relatively light, 44. Moscato's in at 48. So you can make a case for those for sure. I don't know how much further down I'd go for beating him. Reducing and ran extremely well at Saratoga. Graduated out of the novice division and goes into the grade one pool. This is a tough, deep pool to jump into for the first time. All the way Jose has been at it for years, and he may have lost a step or two, particularly with the flat racing portion towards the end. So, you know, I'd say that the Scorpionza and Moscato clearly have the best chances of upsetting Winston T, but he'll be the favorite.
Joe, what's your read?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, Winston T, those two Saratoga races, we know how good they were. I think he's obviously shown he can handle this sort of flat track, more speed-oriented race. He's obviously got to do it again with more weight, picks up, you know, more weight again. He's carried more than this and won in England. So I don't think carrying the weight is a big deal. I think he's given good horses weight. I mean, he's given Moscato 12 pounds. He's given Surprising Soul 16 pounds. I mean, I think that kind of weight advantage to those horses has got to help them. Moscato's a very good horse. He could have won the Iroquois. He sort of got stopped at a really key point at the top of the stretch and kind of had to come outside horses and come running again. You know, he easily could have won that race and it'd be a different story. Scorpionza, I as good as he is, I feel like he's going to need one, and Far Hills would be the goal compared to this. He's going to need one to be at his best, so I put it that way. And I think he's taking on a
proper horse in Winston-Salem who's shown he handles this kind of racing with no fence in the stretch.
I'm going to ask you about second time North America for Leslie Young with Bedrock for Mr. Naylor. And how about Blackmore coming across the pond to ride together at Tipperary and Down Royal? They were successful going back to late last year. And I think Leslie Young is clever in here with Bedrock.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he ran better than it looks on paper in the Smithwick. He kind of ran up in there and then sort of just flattened out the last part of it, which he was likely to do coming off the long layoff. And then, you know, he didn't get a chance to run again in the Turf Riders, and they decided to come straight here and bring Rachel Blackmore over from Ireland to ride. And, you know, he's like you said, that's a clever move. He's a little sneaky good from that side. I still want to see. I think he's probably more so a Far Hills horse than a flat track kind of horse, just physically looking at him and then looking at his form a little bit too.
Well, speaking of Far Hills, October 19th, and you will be able to bet, and you'll be able to bet with both fists, and looking forward to it. And, of course, once we get through tomorrow, we return to the fall season, all the hunt meets, the 28th and 29th, Shawan Downs in Maryland, Foxfield in Charlottesville, then out to Geneseo, October 12th, and Middleburg as well on the 12th, then Far Hills, and then back down into Virginia, and the season starts to wind down. But a grade one tomorrow and a very good Entenmann today, even without Teodoro, and the added Joe Clancy goodness today to go with Bill Gallo.
Happy to help.
How do you beat that? And I suppose Sean's in the trunk. Where's Sean-O today?
Sean's waiting at the track for lunch.
There, it figures. It figures. Yeah. Well, thanks so much. NationalSteepleChase.com. Go jump racing on Twitter. Joe Clancy, of course, on Twitter as well. Bill does not do much tweeting. And I don't blame you, frankly.
Depends
on not your thing.
Yeah.
Joe, who's going to be at who's going to be at, I think, Tom Law going to be at Parks on Saturday, right?
Yes, we're sending Tom Law to Parks for that. I think I might actually be headed to Laurel for the DeFrancis Dash, so we're a little bit all over the country. So, people chasing today, flat racing on the weekend.
Yeah, flat racing, absolutely, at Belmont, the Entenmann, and the Lonesome Glory as New York wraps up the steeplechase season. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Joe Clancy. Bill Gallo, Seth Merrow, Sid Fernando, Marcus Hirsch, Pete Fornital, Deja on the board. It's Wednesday. Good racing today, 3 o'clock. Racing coverage, HRRN, here on Sirius XM. Back tomorrow for the big Thursday GabFest at the races. Thanks, everybody. Good luck. I'm off to Bennington to get a haircut. Talk to you tomorrow.